We now proceed to cross-examination.
Cross-examination, a program on which you hear people you know talk about subjects in which you are interested. The airwaves are full of programs on which you hear national and world leaders discuss public issues. But how about the problems we have right here in Michigan and Kalamazoo? And how do we folks in Michigan feel about some of the national and world issues? To bring you the answers to those questions, Station WKZO, in cooperation with the Junior Bar Section of the Michigan State Bar, brings you each Tuesday evening at 10:30 a program on which you hear qualified witnesses cross-examined by young attorneys. Tonight, our topic is, should Michigan adopt the corporation income tax? Our witnesses are Justin Brocato and Duncan Rice. Our cross-examiners are attorney C.H. Mullen and William Sykes. And here is your moderator, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. By this time, most of us are acquainted with the proposal made by Governor G. Menin Williams that the state levy a 4% corporation income tax. That's the subject for our discussion this evening, whether the legislature should enact this into law. Now, one of our witnesses, Mr. Brocato, has expressed himself in favor of the governor's proposal, and so I think that we ought to begin by asking him to tell us why he thinks this proposal should be enacted into law. Mr. Brocato?
Well, as an introduction to the problem, I should like to point out that there is a need for some type of taxation due to the fact that at the present rate that the state government is operating, we face a operating deficit of about $61 million for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 1950, and an absolute deficit of $48 million. Now, I wish to also point out that this is not a problem created by this administration, the present administration, and that it is not a problem due to the fact that are in any way involved in the program of the governor, the social legislation program of the governor. It grows out of necessity. Now, the problem that we have to determine is just if we concede that there is a necessity for the tax, then we have to determine what type of tax we are going to have. I feel that this tax is a sound tax because it meets the four tests of adequacy, equity, simplicity, and ease of administration. We feel that a corporation tax as proposed will meet those tests and is the fairest type of test, the fairest type of tax that we can have at this time.
All right, thank you, Mr. Brocato, for that introductory statement. Now suppose we turn to our second witness, Mr. Rice, and ask him if he will tell us what his fundamental objections are to this proposal.
Mr. Dunbar, I have several objections to the income tax on corporations. One, the bills which have been filed places in the hands of the legislators a new source of taxation which can be expended indefinitely and may encourage additional spending. Two, the proposed the tax proposed discriminates between different forms of business organization. Three, the proposed tax is a tax on individual investors in corporation stocks, and no tax is placed on other investors. Four, the bill is being sold on the basis that, for many corporations, the 4% profits tax will actually amount to a reduction, except for a few gigantic corporations of 20 millions or more net worth. It is generally conceded that there should be a general revision of the income tax structure. There has also been much talk of an investigation of state expenditures with a view to more economical operation. These procedures should be undertaken. This tax proposal is being resorted to on the plea that time is too short to avert a financial crisis. Yet, the plea is being made without any indication that the general revision of the tax structure will even be attempted, or that an investigation looking towards more economical operation will be made. The proposal amounts to taking the easiest way out.
All right, Mr. Rice, and there we have the arguments in brief for and against the proposal of the governor for a corporation income tax. Well, now it's time to bring our cross-examiners in and ask them if they will proceed to cross-examine our witnesses so that we may get a little bit better idea of what these arguments are. Well, Mr. Sykes, suppose you begin.
Mr. Brocato, you have stated that there are four principal tests of a sound tax structure. You stated that those were adequacy, equity, simplicity, and ease of administration. Would you explain a little further and in a little more detail what you mean by those four tests?
Well, the idea of adequacy, of course, is that there must be sufficient return from the tax to meet the need. It has been estimated that this tax will bring in very close to the $61 million figure, which is estimated to be the probable deficit. For that reason, we believe that this tax will meet the test of adequacy. The matter of equity, we feel that the tax is equitable since it is based upon ability to pay. We feel that the tax is simple because it is based upon a relatively simple formula, and it will be easy of administration. The fact that it is placed upon corporations, all of which must be registered, the existence of which is known to the would be known to the state government and the taxing unit of government, would, I think, make the administration relatively simple. We feel that this tax meets all those tests.
Isn't there possibly some other tax that could take the place of the corporation tax and still meet those four tests? For example, a personal income tax.
A personal income tax, if it wasn't graduated, would be possible.
Now, may I ask a point of clarification there so we'll all be sure what you mean by a graduate? What do you mean by a graduated tax?
Well, that would be a tax which would not be at a set rate. The rate would go up on the basis of increase in income.
That is, higher incomes, higher rates.
That's right. For example, our present federal income tax is graduated.
Well, now, why can't the state levy a graduated personal income tax?
Well, that cannot be done for constitutional reasons. The Michigan State Constitution, Article 10, Section 4, provides that the legislature may, by law, impose specific taxes, which shall be uniform upon the classes upon which they operate. Michigan has never had a graduated income tax law. Twice, I believe, they have attempted to have this put written into the Constitution. That has never taken place because it has been turned down by the voters. I personally feel that graduated income tax might be part or all of the solution to this problem, but the difficulty of obtaining a constitutional amendment is too obvious.
I have one other question at this time. I believe that there is presently a franchise tax upon corporations, which amounts to as much as $50,000 per year on some large corporations. Does this proposed tax take that into account, or is that tax to be removed from the corporation?
As I understand it, it will be removed, and I think there's a point of correction. I think the exemption is up to 50, after you reach 50,000, isn't that right, Mr. Rice?
The maximum tax that any corporation pays is 50,000. On the actual tax is 2.5 mils, but with a maximum of 50,000.
And that would be removed in the event that this personal, corporation income tax is approved. Is that correct?
The franchise tax would be removed.
That's what I understand.
All right, Mr. Sykes, do you have any further questions?
No, I have no further question at this time. I think that Mr. Mullen could possibly inquire into the question that Mr. Brocato has brought out concerning the equity of this tax.
All right, suppose we turn to Mr. Mullen now and see if he has some questions.
Before we get into that question, I'd like to ask Mr. Rice concerning his first objection. Now, this tax, as proposed by the bills introduced into the legislature, provides that there be a straight 4% tax on the income. Now, Mr. Rice, I'd like to know this. You say that you object to the tax because it can be expanded indefinitely and may encourage additional spending. Just what do you mean by that?
Well, just this. If this new source of revenue is opened up, a simple amendment raising the tax rate will produce funds for any project the legislatures may conceive or for the next financial crisis when it comes along. It is therefore possible to sidestep tax revision indefinitely. Past experience has been that the state finds means of spending every dollar that comes to it. The 3% sales tax came into being as the result of a financial crisis. The revenue from the sales tax has kept on increasing throughout the years, particularly through the boom war years, and places to spend the increased revenue have always been found. When the sales tax was enacted, there were millions in delinquent real estate taxes owing to the state of Michigan. These millions have since been collected and spent. The corporation franchise tax came into being in 1921 on the plea of a financial crisis. On and on it goes, and our legislators sidestep general revision of the tax structure.
Well, I suppose that's true. Going to your second objection here, that the proposed tax discriminates between different forms of business organization. Now, just exactly what do you mean by that? As I understand this bill, it provides for a tax on business trusts, joint stock ventures, as well as corporations. Isn't that true?
It does, but the bills, as they have been introduced, do not impose a tax on sole proprietorships, partnerships, syndicates, pools, joint ventures. Many types of business are operated under these excluded forms of business organization. The same types are operated under the corporate form of business organization. The furniture store, drug stores, grocery stores, shoe stores, automobile dealers, department stores, in fact, all types of business are operated as sole proprietorships and as partnerships, but also as corporations. If they are organized as corporations, a 4% tax is imposed on their income. If they are organized as sole proprietorships or partnerships, they will escape the tax. This gives the sole proprietorship and partnership form of business organization a competitive advantage over the corporate form of business organization. The proposed tax is unfair in that respect.
Well, now, you say that the proposed tax is a tax on individual investors in corporation stocks, and no tax is placed on other investors. Well, now, this tax would be a tax on the corporation, wouldn't it, rather than the individual investors?
It is alleged that the tax is a tax on corporations. You cannot collect taxes from a corporate charter. If the tax is not passed on to the consumer, it is alleged that it cannot be, the tax will fall on the individual stockholders in the form of reduced dividends. Many Michigan corporations are wholly financed by Michigan stockholders. The income from their investments, if the tax is not passed on, will be reduced if a 4% tax is imposed on corporation income. This group, and there are thousands of them, will be taxed indirectly.
Now, your other objection that you mentioned right at the beginning of our discussion here was regarding the amount of the reduction. Now, as I understand the governor's message, he stated that whereas this is actually a 4% income tax, it won't amount to that much in practice due to the fact that we have certain amounts which can be taken under the federal tax law, which actually would reduce the amount of tax that these people have to pay in Michigan. Isn't that right?
Yes. The governor points out that the effective rate on corporations will be about 2.48%. That is because the proposed income tax would be a deduction in computing federal income tax. It would be a 2.48% effective rate for corporations with incomes over $50,000, but it would be a larger effective rate for corporations with incomes of less than $50,000.
Now, let's see if we get this straight, Mr. Rice. It all sounds a little bit complicated. You mean that if a corporation pays a corporate income tax, that the amount of that tax that's paid is deductible from their federal income tax. Is that correct?
It's deductible in computing federal income tax. That is correct.
So it actually, in the end, wouldn't amount quite to 4%, but 2.48%.
2.48% for those corporations with incomes in excess of $50,000.
I think that clears that point up. Go ahead, Mr. Mullen. Or perhaps you didn't finish with your answer to Mr. Mullen, Mr. Rice.
I finished. I think that's...
Well, I think Mr. Sykes probably has some more questions than Mr. Boccato now.
Well, now, before Mr. Sykes takes up his questions, I think Mr. Boccato should have a chance to say something about these objections which Mr. Rice has raised. But before we go on to Mr. Boccato, even, I'd like to ask one other question of Mr. Rice myself. How about this assertion that's been made that this won't hurt any corporations except the big ones, the $20 billion corporations, Mr. Rice?
Well, that statement is supported by a computation that a corporation would have to make 6.25% income on its net worth before the income tax of 4% on income would equal the 2.5 mils franchise tax, which the corporation at present pays on capital and surplus. Many types of business enterprise use the corporate form of organization, and the capital invested has little connection with the amount of the corporation's income. This is particularly true of personal service corporations, such as insurance agencies, real estate brokers, and other corporate service organizations. It is also true of corporations which do business on a cash basis and have small invested capital. The facts are that a corporation will pay more tax under the 4% income tax than it pays under the present 2.5 mils franchise tax. If it has, say, $1,000 of net worth and its income does not exceed $62.50. If it has $5,000 of net worth and its income does not exceed $312.50. If it has $50,000 of net worth and its income does not exceed $3,125. Or if it has $100,000 of net worth and its income does not exceed $6,250. The 4% income tax will reach practically every size of corporation and will not amount to a reduction for many of them. In other words, a few gigantic corporations of 20 millions or more net worth will not pay all the tax.
Well, now let's see if we get to straight these figures that you've given, Mr. Rice. Let's imagine a corporation that has a net worth of $10,000. That's not a very big corporation. Now, you say if that $10,000 corporation has an income of more than $625 a year, it will pay more under the governor's plan than it pays at present. Is that correct?
That is true.
All right, I think that clears up that point. Now, Mr. Boccato, would you care to say anything about what Mr. Rice has mentioned, reference to his belief that we should have a thorough tax revision in the state? He seems to think that before we levy any new taxes, there should be a complete study of the entire tax structure, and we should wait for further taxes until after that, meanwhile economizing in the operation of the government. How about that?
I don't think that we can wait to do that. I favor a tax study. And I think the Democratic Party, to a certain extent, is committed to that sort of a proposition. In other words, we have taken up in our various conventions, we have taken up the matter and have had considerable pressure to remove certain taxes. Particularly, I'm referring to the sales tax, which we feel is a very unfair form of taxation. However, to remove that at this time would only create a greater problem. So we do feel that there is a need for a general study. We do feel that where economies are possible, they should be instituted. But we face a deficit this year, not 2 or 3 years from now. I cannot speak for the governor and say that there will be these things, but I do feel that he will do those things. I do feel that he will make a tax study. I feel that our party is more or less put on the spot in regard to that, and I think that we can expect that. But meanwhile, we must have this form of revenue, and I submit that it is the fairest of all the available taxes that we have. Speaking even of the personal income tax, as I say, we could have a 4% sales, 4% income tax if we wanted it.
Well, now, Mr. Brocato, after all, this expected shortage isn't going to take place until June 30th, 1950, is it?
That's correct.
Why do we need to act this year?
Well, there are no available funds that we can turn on other than perhaps borrowing. We might possibly borrow and face that problem. We might...
Let's see, the state can't borrow too extensively without specific authorization from the people, I don't believe, according to the Constitution.
That's correct. So we're limited in that.
Well, now, Mr. Rice, I'd like to ask you a question, if I may. You have made quite a case here against this corporation income tax, but the governor tells us that quite a few other states have this corporation income tax, in addition to his proposal here in Michigan. If it's unfair for us, why isn't it unfair for them?
I don't know that it is unfair in the other states. I have pointed out where it is unfair here. In any case, if it's unfair in the other states, there's no reason why we should follow the other state. If we need general tax revision, we should have general tax revision.
Mr. Brocato, how about Mr. Rice's assertion here that this tax is discriminatory against other kinds of business organizations?
Well, I don't quite concede that. Now, I think on the whole, and I know I'll probably be challenged on this, but I think on the whole that the individual form of doing business and the partnership, which would not come under this class, generally are among the small business people. And we must also bear in mind that corporate existence gives certain advantages. It gives limited liability. It gives the right to carry on through years, and it isn't terminated by the death of partners or the individual. And under those circumstances, I feel it is not an unfair tax for that reason. There are certain privileges, and in effect, we're asking the corporations to pay for that. We already do have a corporate franchise tax, which I feel is not fair because it is not graduated. It is not based on ability to pay. Every corporation, whether it makes money or not, has to pay that franchise tax. Now we are proposing, in effect, a tax of along the same line, except it's based on ability to pay. I would consider that much fairer.
Mr. Rice, what have you got to say in reference to Mr. Bocato's claim that we need this tax right away? We haven't got time for a study of the tax structure, revision of the tax plan. We've got to have this revenue to keep the state operating.
Well, as you have pointed out, we don't need the money till 1950. In any case, if this is just emergency legislation, why isn't it brought in as emergency legislation? Why isn't the life of the tax bill limited, say for 1 year, until we get tax revision? There was another statement made that, of course, that the sole proprietorships and partnerships are the small business organizations of the state. Well, there are approximately, I believe, 30,000 corporations in Michigan, many of them very small. The minimum amount for which you can be incorporated in Michigan is $1,000. There are many corporations with $1,000 capital stock issued, and so on, graduated up from $1,000 to $100,000, let's say, and leave those above that out of the question for a minute. All of these corporations are relatively small businesses. Now, many of them no larger than sole proprietorships, no larger than partnerships. But they will be taxed, and the sole proprietorship and the partnership will not be taxed. Now, as to it being a fair tax, why do we tax indirectly the corporate stockholder. The corporate stockholder may only have $100 invested, say, in a corporation. Yet a person with $100,000 in bonds or in United States securities or in rented property as an individual is not reached by the tax.
Mr. Mercado, I have another question. You have stated that the sales tax is looked upon with disfavor because it is a consumer tax. Wouldn't this corporation income tax be eventually handed down to the consumer anyway, inasmuch as he is the purchaser of the product of practically every corporation?
I think not. I think as long as business remains competitive, that will not be true. If it becomes, in a case of a monopoly, that may be true. But in case of the average business, particularly, as Mr. Rice points out, that there are other forms of enterprise that are not covered by the Act, I do not feel that it can be passed on to the consumer.
Mr. Mercado, I had one question, too. Isn't it true that if this 4% tax goes in, there is a very real and valid objection that business which wants to come into Michigan might not come in, and business which is here now might be driven out?
No, I don't think that is true. Because in the first place, 32 of the 48 states have this type of corporation tax. Even those that don't, the two industrial states that I can think of that don't, are Illinois and Ohio. And those particular states, at the present time, impose from one-third to twice as much tax on corporations at the present time. And not only that, but it's quite obvious that these states, that these corporations already here, are not going to move their plants out in the face of those facts.
Mr. Brocato, we have heard it said that this is a pretty smart political move on the part of the governor, that the corporations are vote poor, and therefore that it's smart politically to soak the people who haven't any votes. Do you think that had anything to do with the proposal?
Putting me right on the spot there, I can't speak for anybody when you ask me that. It probably does have something to do with it, in the sense that the governor probably came to this conclusion that he'd either have to impose more consumer taxes, which probably wouldn't meet the problem, or he would have to find this or a personal income tax not graduated. And as between the two, I would probably concede that if between a personal income tax and this tax, he probably thought that this was the better of the two, probably for political reasons.
Now, it said that this tax does not reach the consumer. Well, corporations themselves are consumers. The individual stockholders in corporations who are taxed indirectly are also consumers.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, to have to call a halt to this very interesting discussion, but I think by this time our listeners do have a clearer idea of the arguments pro and con for this proposal. And we'll be hearing a great deal more about it as the legislative session continues and as the two bills, the one in the House of Representatives and the other one in the Senate, are brought out onto the floor for debate. I think this discussion has helped to clarify the issue in the minds of all of us and will give us a better opportunity as citizens to express our view.
This court is now adjourned.
You have been listening to another transcribed broadcast of Cross-Examination, presented in the public interest by station WKZO in cooperation with the Junior Bar Section of the Michigan State Bar. Next week, our topic will be displaced persons. Our witnesses will be John Reed of the Family Service Center and Reverend Yanislav Manas. And appearing as cross-examiners, we will have attorneys Floyd Felling and Frank Schmiga. For interesting broadcast on state affairs, be sure to tune to WKZO Wednesday evening at 11:15 for the governor's weekly message to the people, and Sunday afternoon at 4:30 for the lawmakers.